Okay, can you just a moment? Okay, because I don't know. I think I know how the chorus goes. Can you give me a little bit? Is it had it not been for me? Okay. Dun, 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 had it not been. Stay at D for the verse. Okay. Verse, I'm staying at D. Can you sing that verse for me real quick? Just like real quick. Get there. We'll get it.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to God's house. Boy, the crowd is overwhelming. But you know what? That's all right. God's with us, right? Okay, so that's good. Yeah. All right. Unfortunately, Brother Eddie is tied up tonight, committed, and he couldn't be here, so but we've got it all covered. We got Brother Chris is going to deliver our message, and so we're looking for a good tonight. If you would, let's all stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Do we have any unspoken prayer requests? Out of lifting other hands? All right. God sees all, each and every one. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you now, just giving you all the praise and glory for everything that you have done for us, Lord. We're just so thankful to be back in your house tonight to worship you and praise you, Lord. Lord, we just come to you now and put all of these prayer requests in front of you, Lord. Ask that your will be done with each and every one, Lord. You know each need is out there, Lord. There's so many sick and people that's needing healing and overcoming predicaments with their health and operations and situations, Lord. We just put all these in your hands, and we pray for the families that's lost loved ones this past week, Lord. We pray for our pastor and his family tonight, wherever they may be, to you, Lord. Now come to you now, Lord, just asking you to bless this service. Bless our messenger and the message, Lord. And we just give you all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all sing our number one hymn, Where Could I Go? Oh, may be seated. If I could, can I have Brother Luke, can you come up and help us with the offering, please? You only ask a blessing? Yes, please. To call on a few special singers. We're going to start with Sister Tabitha. Sorry, I lost you.
I've had this song on my heart for a couple of days, and I just want to say I just love the Lord, and I thank Him for all that He's done for me and all that He's going to do for me. I had the opportunity last night. We started our tour with the choir that I sing with on TV. And last night we had the opportunity to sing in Rex, Georgia. And, I was just looking out over the crowd as we were singing, and the tears were flowing, and just the joy of the Lord that was. People forget often two times about these songs in the Redback Hymnal. This is what I grew up on. And I'm thankful that I have the opportunity to sing with a bunch of people. I know Brenda, I'm going to call her out. She hates for me to sing out of this book. But it's what I grew up on. And these songs have so much meaning to them. And if you could go back and just read the stories of where those songs came from, it'll bless your heart. I have these books that tells about each hymn, how it was written, where they were at when it happened. And it just blesses my heart. But this song, I'm going to sing Holy Ground tonight. This is one of my favorite songs. And Chris and I are going to be ministering in Chattanooga the first weekend of July. And the pastor there, he's really good friends with us. And he said, I don't care what you sing, but you have to sing Holy Ground when you come. So I want to sing it tonight. Worship with me.
As I walked through the door, I sensed His presence, and I knew this was a place where love abounds. For this is the temple Jehovah God abides here. We are standing presence on holy ground. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us pray. There is joy beyond all measure, and at His feet, peace of mind can still be found. If you have a need, I know He has the reach out and claim it, for child, you're standing on holy ground. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there
of singing last night to sinus issues. It's hard to hold those notes out.
Thank you, brothers, sister. Sister Susan.
Well, I want to praise the Lord for being here. Thanks, Sister Savannah, for covering for Sister Jennifer. Doing a great job. Sister Jennifer, if you're listening, we miss you still anyway. Either though, Savannah's doing a great job. but I meant to have these praise reports this morning and just slipped my mind. I want to thank the Lord for healing me. First of all, Wednesday night, I had prayer Wednesday night for my ear and my throat and everything. And it didn't go away right then, but I just kept claiming it, and I'm better. He's healed me, and I praise Him for that. And also, a praise report for my sister-in-law that I asked prayer for. She had a mass removed from her colon, and they said that it was cancer, but the surgeon said he was positive he got it all. And of course, then she had to go back to her other doctor, and they already had set up a prescription for all these chemo pills that she was supposed to take in the morning and at night, you know, for months. And they just refused. They just finally just said, no, we're not going to do that. I'm going back to my surgeon. Anyway, MD Anderson got involved. They sent her a report and said that everything was good. She's good to go. They didn't see any signs of anything left. And she's praising the Lord. And she wanted to thank everybody for their prayers. And she just has to go back, you know, for normal cancer checkups every 3 months or whatever it is. But she's praising the Lord for her complete healing.
Just suppose God searched through heaven, He couldn't find one willing to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed to buy eternal life for you and me. Had it not been
song for you now. I'll let the band take a break. Y'all working so hard there. They do a good job, though. You know what? We're blessed. You know, so this song is kind of one of my favorites because, you know, so many times, and I hear Brother Eddie talk about this in so many of his messages to us, you know, that in, like, Sister Susan was up there giving a testimony, and so was Sister Tabitha. But, you know, so many times we fail to share with people the blessings that we're getting from God. And, you know, that's not what he wants, you know. That's the reason he blesses us. He wants us to share it. Because that sharing is what gets other people excited about being part of it. So this is one of my songs that I like doing because it pretty much is what it says. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. How he turns my heart and hold me close to him. He did something that no other friend could ever do. Oh, how much I'm sorry, lost my word. Care for you. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness of me. Oh, how much he cared for me. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms around me and he led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Thank you, Lord. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Right. It's time we'll turn it over to Brother Chris. You'll come forward, please. Amen. Give the musicians a hand. Amen. You know, I thank God for His Word. Amen. I thank God He speaks to us. I thank God that He's here with us. Amen. Like Brother Eddie always says, God's here. I brought Him with me. Amen. So He's here. A good preacher friend of mine used to always tell me, I'd always be concerned when I first started preaching. You know, when you first start preaching, you know, it's kind of a little bit intimidating because you don't want your name to get out there, because if it does, people won't show up. and it really is kind of discouraging sometimes, you know. And he told me, I said, just whatever you do, don't tell him I'm preaching tonight. He's like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who's preaching. As long as the Lord handles the service, everything's going to be fine, you know. But he said, it doesn't matter if you're preaching to 2, 20, 200, or 2,000. Preach the same way, you know. And good friend of mine, and thankful for the people that invested into my life. Amen. Thankful that for the people that took the time to love on me. Amen. If you have your Bible, I want you to go to Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter number 6. Verse number 19, we're going to read one verse right here, and this is, in my Bible, it's red letters, which means that Jesus is talking right here. I love, you know, Brother Eddie was preaching on this the other night, and then Brother Jim came back to it Wednesday night. And it's just a beautiful passage of Scripture, but Brother Jim was a little bit further up in the passage here. But verse 19 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your spirit, for your presence, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're in this house, that you're moving, that you're meeting every need, Father God. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would just take these words, Father God. Lord, let it not be my words, but let it be your words, Father God. Lord, we ask right now that you would speak to us this night, Father God. Give us ears that will hear, Father God, and apply these words to our heart and to our life, Father God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in this service. We thank you for moving, Father God, outside of these doors, Father God, those that need a special touch, those that are hurting, Father God. I ask you just to send the comforter to them. Heal them and make them whole. We thank you for all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If I had a title tonight, it would be, Where is Your Treasure? Where is Your Treasure? I've been listening to a very famous, I guess you could call him a financial analyst, and if I mentioned his name to you, you would all know right off the bat. You know, he's one of those type of guys. He just tells you exactly how it is. Very well known. He's got podcasts. He's got videos out there on how to build your wealth. And one of the videos I was watching, he said the biggest contributor to your wealth is your income, but the biggest hindrance from your income is your debt. And I was like, wow. You know, duh, right, the duh, that's what I thought, duh, you know. But I thought, you know, all these people going around the world, we lay up for things, we plan for things, and we have these financial planners, and we have these portfolios, and we're preparing for the future, right? Everywhere you hear, when you turn on the radio, the Christian radio, they're constantly, you know, advertising the funeral homes, you know, and the one thing about the funeral homes, you know, people are dying to get in there. Just making sure y'all are awake out there. But they're pre-planning for their death. Everything is planned. But you know what? I was going down the road the other day, and you know, sometimes I'm just quiet, and I just let the Lord speak to me. And the Lord was really speaking to me about what we're going to do in this life. You know, there's two dates in your life, and I've said it before, that are significant to you, that are very significant to you. The day you were born. Most people can call it right off the bat, the day they were born, and then the day that you're going to die, if you die. I told Tabitha, I said, we're not dying, we're going in the rapture. You know, we're not leaving out of here. None of us is getting there first. You know, we're crossing the finish line together, you know.
You're not going before me, and I'm not going before you. And that's just how it is, you know. But the thing about it is we store up, and we plan, and we prepare. That little dash that's in between. What are we doing for the Lord for that little dash that's in between? What are we laying up treasures in heaven? Or are we just laying up treasures down here? I talk to a lot of people, you know, they get into the 401k and they ask me a lot of things about that. And I try to help them out and point them in the right direction, you know. And it's good to plan. I'm not saying that we should not plan because, you know, we should plan. Because the Bible says that we need to occupy until He comes. But what kind of treasures are we laying up for in heaven? Are we preparing to live the life in heaven? Are we preparing for, and I tease my wife all the time, I said, you know, the way things are going right now, at this rate, I'm going to have to work up till lunchtime on the day of my funeral. Y'all get that later. And I think, you know, but what am I preparing, what am I storing up over in heaven? Because Jesus is looking at the multitudes and He's telling them, don't worry about what's going on down here, because I'm going to take care of that. But are you laying up treasures in heaven? What kind of treasures can we put over in heaven? You know what? I was reading the other day, one of the greatest things that happens in all of heaven is the Bible tells me that all of heaven rejoices when a sinner is saved. When one sinner is saved, all of heaven rejoices. You ever go to Arby's? Anybody ever ate at Arby's? When you go to leave out, if they give you the superior customer service, what do? Ring the bell. You know, and you leave out, and you know, you're always halfway out the door, and you're ring, ring, ring the bell. Thank you. You know, can you imagine being in heaven when a soul gets saved? And it's not like, you know, we went to the ball game the other night, you know, and bless his heart, this one guy who was trying to get the white with the wave going, and he was expending way too much energy. But he finally got it all. I mean, we all got on board, and we were doing the wave, you know, woo, you know, and he was just beside himself, excited. But all of heaven, to get excited over one soul that's saved. Can you imagine being, it's not going to be the, woo, you know how we're halfway, oh, hallelujah. They're going, yeah, another one made it in. And it's not so much that another one made it into heaven, it's that another one's not going to hell. You know what's going to make heaven really heaven? Knowing that I'm not going to hell because I deserve that. Amen. You deserve that. Amen. So we lay up treasures. What else can we do to lay up treasures? Tell people about the Lord. Share the gospel. I can remember growing up, we used to have these tracts. Remember the tracts we used to give out? Pretty much now you only see them in bathrooms. People will put them on the bathroom sink and stuff like that, you know. We used to go pass them out to people, you know. And people would call you all kind of everything, but some people would just accept it, you know. And there's no telling how many souls that got saved just by that simple ministry. Say, well, Brother Chris, I can't get up and I can't go out and do things like that, you know, with the heat coming. What about prayer? When was the last time you prayed diligently for somebody? We talked about it a little bit this morning in Sunday school. When was the last time you really stood in the gap for somebody? When was the last time you said, you know what, I'm going to get a hold of the horns of the altar and I'm praying for you. I'm praying that God gives you strength, because there's sometimes in our life when we can't pray for ourselves, where we're not able to pray for ourselves. You know, there's sometimes where we need somebody to come beside us and say, you know what, I got you. I got you. The term in the police is, I got your six. You know what that is? I got your back. I got your back. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to be there with you. I'm reminded of the Good Samaritan. You know, the story of the Good Samaritan, we all know the story. The guy was on the side of the road. He was beat up. But what gets me, Brother Jim, is they're on the way to worship. These people aren't just out there meandering. That's the pathway that goes to the house of God. They're going to worship. The priest comes by and he goes on the other side of the road. You know, how many times do we do that? Man, I ain't got time for them today. They ain't nothing but a money grabbing. They probably driving a Rolls Royce. They got parked around the corner. I mean, we don't think those thoughts. Amen? But you know what? If God says give it, give it. Because He'll give it back to you. I'm telling you, He will. The other person comes along and says, no, I can't be near you. Then the Good Samaritan comes along, and the Bible says he has compassion on him. The word compassion means he must have been in that same situation at one time before. So he had compassion. Not only did he scoop him up and he took him to the motel, he said, hey, look here, I'm going to take care of whatever his bill is, make sure he's eaten and taken care of, and when I come back, I'm going to take care of him. You know, that's what we need to start doing to people. What made Jesus so popular? He loved people. He loved people. Amen. Flip over to Matthew chapter number 19. Matthew 19 and verse number 16. While you're turning there, I want to remind you of something. Me and Tabitha were talking a few weeks ago going home. And let me tell you, if you're missing Wednesday night, it's just a quick little plug here for Wednesday night, you're missing it. Because we have some good Bible studies on Wednesday night. I really enjoy the Bible studies we have on Wednesday night. But we were talking about Job. And, you know, with all that Job went through, and we think about, man, Job had this massive amount of money. He had this massive fortune. And he lost everything, and God restored everything to him. But let's back it up here just a little bit, Brother Keith. It's something we might not have thought about Job. Never in the Bible do we read where Job inherited money. Never do we read that Job had a rich grandpa or a rich grandma or a rich dad or a mom. So what that tells me, Brother Keith, is Job had to be a self-made man. In other words, everything that he got, he did it himself. But he knew where his treasure really came from. There's a song that says, I'm rich. And I was listening to it this past couple weeks. And it says, my father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and I believe I own one too. And I was like, wow, to think that I have right to that, that's a treasure to me. It's not about the house I live in. It's not about the car I drive. It's not about where I work at, prestigious place I work at. It's not about anything like that. It's about that you have a home in heaven. That's my treasure. That's my treasure. And I don't have to worry about in 100 years having to fix up on my home, because there's a building program that's going on in heaven right now. You know, they're building a car wash in Rockmart, and it's right across from Chick-fil-A. Well, I already know. And you know, I was sitting there with my windows down in the parking lot the other day, and all I could hear was the nail guns with a gym. Ta, ta, ba, 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 ta, ta, ba, ba, ba. And Brother Keith, all I could think of was, man, if that was in heaven. That's what it sounds like in heaven right now. Because God's getting my mansion ready. He's getting your mansion ready. He's preparing a place for us. John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. There's plenty of things out there to be troubled about. You believe in God, believe also in me. And verse number 2 says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare. Not he sends somebody to do it for you. I go. Jesus himself said, I go to prepare a place for you. That where I am, you can be also. I'm trying to tell you, this world is going to depress you. This world is going to get you down. There's so many people that are dying of depression. 100,000 people a year commit suicide because they're depressed. 100,000. And they're not concerned about that because that number hasn't gone up. It's been steady every year. 100,000 people. You take a big football stadium, it holds 100,000 people, between 80 and 100,000 people every year die because they're not being told that there is an answer. There is a cure for depression, and his name is Jesus. Amen. There is a better way, and his name is Jesus. Amen. They're starting the thing now in Canada. These scientists have come out and said, well, because you're poor, this really made me kind of chuckle, because you're poor, you have the right to commit suicide. Because that's living conditions that are unacceptable. And so now we're letting you have the right. We think you should have the right to be able to commit suicide. You know how silly that is? That's like digging a hole for no good reason and filling it back up again. That makes no sense at all. You know, if we look at our situation, and our situation is this close to us, and we can't see everything else around us, we need to get the barriers out of our life. And we need to really see what God's trying to tell us in our life. But the devil tries to put blinders on our eyes. And it's just like Brother Eddie said this morning. This wasn't even in my notes. What Brother Eddie said this morning, we get those spiritual blinders sometimes, and they get a little bit more and more. It doesn't happen overnight. But as time progresses, it gets worse and worse and worse. And after that, you get tunnel vision. One of my good friends I work with, he was a law enforcement officer. He's retired now. And he told me, he said, You know, I ask him, I said, you know, how many times have you, you know, I'm asking, how many times you've been shot? How many times this and how many times? And he'll tell stories, you know, and he said, man, I remember one time something happened. He said, and I got tunnel vision. He said, all I could see was just right, was what in front of me. He said, it didn't matter what was going beside me or anything like that. He said, my brain wasn't thinking right. I just got the tunnel vision and was just completely focused on what was going on in front of me. We look at our problems sometimes and we think, they ain't never going to get no better. I'm going to tell you something that's going to blow your mind. Everybody in this room, every single one of you has got a problem. Every single one of you has got a problem. Every single one of you, don't look at somebody and say, well, man, bless God, they got it all together. They got all their ducks in a row. I don't even have ducks. Somebody just disconnected from the Bluetooth. I don't even have ducks. I don't even have a row. I think I have like turkeys and they're running wild everywhere, you know. But you know what? Praise God for them because God's going to keep them together. Amen. God's gonna work that all out. But don't let the devil tell you, hey, you're the only one with these problems. Everybody else has got them. But you know what the difference is? I'm going to tell you what the difference is. The difference is a man named Jesus. There's a man named Jesus who's going to take care of you. Amen. I've never seen God's people forsaken. David said the very same thing. I've never seen his seed begging bread. He ain't started now, and ain't, you know, we can say, oh, our future looks bad, and this looks bad. You know what? I know somebody who's already been in the future and has made a way for me, and his name is Jesus. Amen? Give him a hand clap of praise. Matthew 19 and verse number 16. And behold, one came and said to him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? I always pick at the boys. I said, you know, when you're drinking tea or something like that and it's hot tea, you know, when in doubt, pinky out. So, you know, yeah, this guy right here, I can look at him and I can see he was a very proper person. He was one of those people that had steak for dinner every night. You know what I'm saying, Brother Keith? He was one of those guys that he was driving the Rolls Royce. You know, we're going down the road the other day and we're coming back from seeing Greg in the hospital, and a Rolls Royce turns the corner, and I about had a wreck, see who was driving it, you know. Not just anybody drives it. I was like, keep your eyes on the road. Trying to see who's driving that Rolls Royce. You realize that's a $500,000 car, you know. I'm trying to see who it is, you know. Maybe I want one to, you know, rub elbows with somebody like that, you know. Get to know somebody like that, you know. Hey, man, give me a dollar or two. But this rich man comes to Jesus, and he says, I can just hear his tone. It's like, you remember Gilligan's Island? Love you, darling. Remember, he, you know, good master, what must I do to inherit? Because that's all he understood, was inheriting something. Something was given to me. You know, I told Tabitha, I said, you know, when I was born, I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth, more like a plastic spoon, something like that, you know. I never got that. So, but by the way, when I met her, she worked at the bank, and she was the best treasure I got out of the bank. Save that for later. Don't be laughing at me. Verse 17, and he said unto him, why callest thou me good? The first thing Jesus says, why are you even calling me good? But watch what Jesus has to say to him. There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. It's interesting. He told him, keep the commandments. What is that right there? The Ten Commandments. Right? So, you know, we have our little checklist, how we imagine ourselves with God, right? So, Jesus tells him, keep the commandments in verse 17. Watch. And he saith unto him, which? And Jesus saith, thou shalt do no murder. He said, got it, ain't killed nobody. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Got it, ain't killed, ain't, you know, fornicated. Thou shalt not steal. I'm not a thief, okay? Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. In other words, he's telling him, Jesus, if that's all it takes to get into heaven, I'm good. I'm already made the way. No problem here. And Jesus looks at him and he says, in verse 21, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure, there's that word again, in heaven. And what's he say? And come and follow me. Come and follow me. The Bible says that the rich man went away sad. Why? God, I'm doing all these commandments right here. But when it comes to my pocket, mm-mm. The one thing I've found that motivates people is their wallet that's in their back pocket. You get to their money and you start getting to their heartstrings. Amen? Come on, somebody. You start getting into, I mean, I might be stepping on some toes right here. You start talking about money and people are saying, oh, that preacher, right, you're just meddling, you know? But I'm going to tell you something better than money. It's a treasure in heaven. It's a treasure that I have in heaven. You know, we Tabitha, every once in a while, matter of fact, she did it just I think it was last night. You know, she's laying in the bed over there, and I'm laying about half asleep. And we got this thing where we got to look at houses, you know, these big fancy houses. She's like, ooh, here's a house here. You know, she's telling me about it. It's a four bedroom. Ooh, you know, that's pretty nice. On blah, 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 acre. Ooh, that's pretty nice, too. Brand, ooh, that's even nicer, you know. And she said, whoa, I know what that meant. I speak Tabitha pretty fluently. I was like, that means that's not in our price range. She's like, yeah, it's so-and-so hundred. I was like, wow, that's a lot of money. Then I say, how much is that monthly payment? Wow, that's even more. You know? There's no way I can afford that. And I was like, let me see the pictures. I didn't want to see because it don't cost nothing. You know, my dad always said, whenever you're going past a place that's cooking like hamburger or something, the smells are free. You can smell all you want to, you know. But when you go inside, you're going to have to pay for it. Amen. But I was looking at the pictures and I thought, man, I got a mansion, Brother Keith, that my Bible says that I hath not seen, nor ear hath heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men, such as God has prepared for me. I've seen a lot of things, and I know I'm kind of comical at times, but I can't help it. When something really impresses me, all I can say is, wow, wow. Brother Keith, I'm pretty sure for the first little while I'm in heaven, I won't be able to talk because I'd be going, wow, wow, wow. Everything that I've seen, everything that I've heard, and I've seen some beautiful things, won't even compare to the treasure that's laid up over there. And what we're going to do is we're going to lay our crowns that we're going to be given to us. We're going to lay them at his feet because he's worthy. And I don't want to have this little bitty, you remember when Burger King used to have the little bitty crowns? I don't want to have this little bitty paper Burger King crown that I lay at Jesus' feet and say, Jesus, this is all I had. And he's going to look at me and say, but all that time that I gave you on the earth, you could have done something with, but you chose not to. You chose to invest it in this and invest your time in this and you invest your time in that. My phone, it's got this thing where it shows me how many hours I've used a week on each app. And I was looking at my phone report this morning and I was like, I spent a lot of time on this phone. But I thought, you know, Lord, I need to start spending less time on this phone and more time with you. Because I'm not going to understand exactly what you want me to do each and every week until I hear from you, until I hear what your plan is for me. The people that work for me, they know that I like to have everything planned out. That I not only have an A plan, but I have a B, C, D, E, and sometimes an F plan if we get that far. And they know, they'll come to me, all right, what's the plan? This is what we're going to do, X, Y, Z. But if they don't come and listen to me and listen to what I'm trying to say, the plan's not going to work. And I tell them every morning, I said, look, all I want for you is 100%. I don't want 110%. I don't want 100. I want you to give 100%. The person next to you gives 100%, and we keep on going. But if somebody else gives 50%, now you have to give 150% to overcome that. So as Christians, if we're not going to go out and share the gospel, by the way, Vacation Bible School is coming up. I know everybody looks around and says, man, that's a whoo, hallelujah, whoo, you know. I hear a lot of that, whoo, glory, Brother Chris, it gets pretty loud in the Vacation Bible School. You know, I look at it like this. Let's get into the family at the base level. Then let's let God work his way into that family. And let's see some people get saved out of this thing. It's not just about coming together, and this is a shameless plug for Vacation Bible School. Don't trust me, it is. It's not just about coming together and having three nights or four nights or however many it is, Sister Virginia. But you know, you've seen the kids grow up in church. You've seen how it changed their lives. You've seen how they got in as kids and they grew up and they took it on to their kids and their kids. Amen? That's what it's all about. It's not just about creating a legacy. It's creating people that want to go to heaven with you. It's kind of like a train. All aboard, when the conductor says, all aboard, get on the train. We used to sing a song when me and Tab were dating many, many years ago. Remember that song, Tab, Hop on the Bus? It said, hop on the bus, God's on the move. There's a seat for me, there's a seat for you. It doesn't matter what you've done, if you believe in his son. We had younger lungs then, but but it just said, hop on the bus. Just get on the bus, you know. Everybody looks around, well, I can't do this, and I can't do that. You know what God wants you to do? Just give it yourself. That's it. We give our offering the first 10%, right? Everybody believe that. The tithe goes to the Lord, amen? When was the last time you gave 10% of your week to the Lord? Ouch. It's not just about the money. It's about giving of yourself to the Lord. I'm talking about in prayer and seeking God's face and letting him use you. And not going along on the other side of the road and saying, I'm not stopping at that gas station this morning because I talked to so-and-so yesterday, you know. I'll be honest, sometimes in the morning I'll stop at the gas station and I'll get me a coffee. And I am not the one in the morning that you want to talk to, you know. I've got the, you know, because I don't want to be talked to. I'm not, you know, I'm not really a morning person. That one right there, she wakes up talking. You know, she's ready to go, you know. It's like, I'm like an old Ford, I got to get crunk up, you know. But I've been working on that. God, help my inward, what's going on inside, to show outward. Because if I'm going to be a child of God, I'm going to be a child of God 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. It doesn't matter what's going on in my life, I'm still a child of God. And I still need to let people know that Jesus loves them. Amen? So if we're laying for ourselves treasures up in heaven, what's your portfolio look like? What's your heavenly portfolio look like? Does it look good? Do we need to work on that? Do we need to work on that just a little bit? These same person I watch, you know, his show, and he's talking to these younger people. And it's kind of like two different parts of the spectrum. You know, this one guy, he's like, you know, what's your net worth? He's like $1.7 million. I was like, wow. You know, how old are you? 38. I'm just a baby, you know. And it's just him and his wife, you know, I'm listening, you know, we paid off our house, and we paid off our cars, and we paid off this, and we paid off that. And I was like, so many things that you don't have going on that I have going on, you know. One of them is kids. You know, if you don't have, I told Tabitha, I said, we don't have no kids, we have money, you know. I wouldn't take nothing for them. Sometimes I try to cash them in, but wouldn't take nothing for them, amen. And in the other end of the spectrum, people these are so high in debt. You know what debt is? Debt's a prison. It's a prison. Yes, it is. Because you think about it. I was thinking about it the other morning. You know, I go to my job, and I'm generally the first one there in the mornings. And I go, and I'm committed, and everything's good. But I thought, man, Lord, if I didn't know nobody or nothing, I think I'd stay at home today. I'm pretty sure I'd just go right on back to bed today, because today I'm not feeling it, you know. But we get up and we go because we're enslaved to the debt, right? We're enslaved to that. But Jesus said that he was born so we could be free. Amen. I'm not talking about financially now. I'm talking about spiritually. We shouldn't be spiritually bound so much that we can't go out and we can't tell somebody Jesus loves you. You say, Brother Chris, I don't have the words. I had somebody come up to me not long ago, and they said, well, I don't know what to say to them. And I told them, just love them. Just love them. That's all you got to do. Don't believe me, I don't have all the words, but I know somebody that does. And as long as I'm directly connected to him, he's going to give me the words to say. But the one thing I found that people respond to is when you love them. Just love them. Love them is not beating them over the head and saying, you should this and you should that. Sometimes loving them is just being quiet and listening. Listen to what they have to say. Be that shoulder to cry on. Be that person that's there to help them along the way. That's what we're called to do as Christians. And when we do that, we lay up treasures in heaven. The Bible actually says we heap them. You know, I can always remember the word heap. Brother Terry, I know he's watching. He's going to love this. Because when my mama would cook mashed potatoes, she would say, do you want a heap of mashed potatoes or do you just want a little bit? I want a heap of mashed potatoes. Whoa. And it was a big spoon. Whoa. You know, it wasn't one of them little baby spoons. It was a big whoa, you know. I want my treasure in heaven to be a heap. Not because I'm going to walk around in heaven and say, look at there. Look at all that. You want a gold, you know. I want it to say because I can put it at Jesus' feet. And as I'm trying to end, I'm gonna leave kind of on this right here. This man, two stories I got to tell to you. This man goes to heaven, and he's standing there at the pearly gates, and he looks at St. Peter and he says, "I can get in. I got something in my pocket that's gonna get me in." St. Peter said, "Really? Yep." So he picks up what's in his pocket, puts it out on the counter. Big old gold nugget. Peter looks at him and said, "You got a piece of asphalt." The thief on the cross, on a more serious note, the thief on the cross, I want you to think about this. He was an unlearned person. He was a sinner. He was a thief. He deserved death, just like we do. And in closing, everybody will stand, please. We're not going to have any music or anything like that. It's fine. But he was, as a matter of fact, brother, if you want to come play, just play something on the piano for us. He was a thief. Remember the story where he said, one thief looked at Jesus and said, "If you really are who you say you are, get us down off this cross." The other one looked at him and said, "No, we deserve to be here. We deserve to be here." And he looked at him and he said, "Master, forgive me. Forgive me." And Jesus looked over at him and said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Can you imagine the heavenly entrance as he stood before St. Peter and he said, "St. Peter, I've come to enter into heaven." And St. Peter looks at him and he says, "But do you know the doctrine of justification by faith? Do you know what that is? Do you know what sanctification is? Do you know what the Romans road to salvation is? Do you know what this is? Do you know what that is?" He said, "I don't know. I don't know any of that stuff." He said, "Well, what gives you the right to come in and to enter into heaven? This is God's heaven." He said, "Well, all I know is the man in the middle cross told me I could come." And I thought, you know, we make salvation so long and drawn out and so hard, and you got to do this and you got to do that. But the simplest form of anything you could do is accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. The simplest thing. A lot of times I've had people say, "I thought I was saved at this age, but I didn't really get saved until I understood that it's not about a game. It's about a relationship." So with head bowed and eyes closed, if you're here tonight and you say, "Lord, I want a closer relationship with you. Lord, I've not been as close to you as I should have been, and it's my fault. But God, I want more of you in my life." If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand and say, "Jesus, I want you, Lord. I need you, Lord." If there's anything in your life that hinders you from doing what God has called you to do, I want you to lift the other hand and say, "Lord, help me. Get anything out of my life that's not like you and make me more like you, Lord. Jesus, I ask you to be with me. Jesus, I ask you to help me." You know, like I said earlier, there's not one person in this room that doesn't have problems. There's also not one person in this room that doesn't need Jesus. We all need Jesus every single day, every single hour, every single moment, every single second. We need Jesus. The very air that we breathe is on loan from Him. The very heart that is beating in our chest, He set to beat. Our health, our life, our strength are all in His hands. Without Him, we could do nothing. These altars are open if you need prayer, if you need prayer for healing or whatever you might have a need of.
This blessed Savior, faith he cleansed me.
Y'all for coming tonight. I believe that the Lord is with us. Amen. Take the word of the Lord. Go out. Conquer the world. Amen. We used to meet together when we lived in Florida. We used to all meet together and we'd have prayer. All the deacons and the board members and the preacher and all that, we'd meet together. And after prayer, he'd always say, "Go get them. Get them." Let's give Brother Chris a hand. Thank you, brother.
You know, it's always a joy to listen to him because he puts so much spirit and life into his messages, you know. No dozing off at all. None at all. As my old pastor say, no pecking of the corn when you're listening to a good preacher. But we love you, Brother Chris. All right, we'll dismiss with prayer. I would like for everybody to remember all the sick ones that we have out of the church. You know, we've got so many now. We're just praying for Sister Jennifer and so many out there. And don't forget Brother Craig. Right, he's still struggling and going through a tough time. And then also Sister Linda Peters and the loss of her brother. So we've got some people that's really suffering. So y'all keep them in your prayers throughout the week. All right. So let's close. Dear Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful and thankful, Lord, for this service tonight, Lord. It was such a blessing for the message we received. Lord, we ask you now just to watch over and protect each and every one that's leaving here tonight, Lord. Bless them throughout the week, Lord. And may you bring them back into your house again to worship with you again on Wednesday nights, Lord. We just ask you to watch over, protect them. And all these things we ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen.